Welcome to the deep dive. We're not just about skimming the surface here. We really plunge into the stories behind things.
Exactly.
Today, it's about luxury, but, you know, not just the sparkle.
Well,
we're looking at pieces with real narratives, some pretty surprising origins, maybe even a bit of rebellion. You hear Cartier, you think elegance, right?
Mm-hmm.
Timeless.
Definitely.
But what if there's this whole world of meaning, history, even like defiance hidden inside their most famous stuff?
That's what we're getting into.
So we're diving into the world of Cartier jewelry. We've got this great guide, Top 17 Collections of Cartier Jewelry, and we've pulled out what we think are the absolute must-know insights for you.
Yeah, our goal today is to see how Cartier mixes that incredible artistry, the innovation, with sometimes really humble starting points.
Humble, yeah.
To create pieces that just become cultural icons. We want to explore why each collection is so loved, what makes it really stand out.
And what it tells us.
Exactly, what it reveals about us, about culture, across time.
Okay, let's unpack this. We'll start with three collections that I think really define Cartier's impact culturally. Each one has a huge story.
Mm-hmm.
First, the Cartier Love Collection.
Ah, the Love Bracelet. Iconic.
It really is. Burst onto the scene in 69, designed by Aldo Cipolo. And that bracelet design, it's so simple, but wow.
And here's where it gets really fascinating. That screwhead thing, it's not just for looks.
Right.
It's functional. There are these two tiny screws, you can't see them from the outside, holding it together. You literally need a miniature screwdriver to take it off.
Which the partner traditionally kept.
Exactly, the partner kept it. So it's the symbol of love needing both people, you know, to put it on, take it off. It's commitment made physical.
A daily reminder. And for 1969, that was a pretty bold statement.
Huge.
Didn't they have a policy about only selling to couples at first?
They did, yeah. Very unique. They gifted them to famous pairs, too, like Liz Taylor and Richard Burton.
Cary Grant and Diane Cannon, too, I think.
That's right. Really cemented it as this, like, ultimate romantic piece.
And it evolved, didn't it? Started yellow gold.
Mm-hmm. 18-karat yellow gold originally. Then came white gold, rose gold, versions with diamonds, other gems.
Is the original still the most sought after?
Often, yeah. The unadorned yellow gold has a special kind of value, sentimentally and for collectors. They do have a modern cuff version now, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Love Cuff looks similar, but no screwdriver needed. It's maybe a slightly different vibe, generally a bit lower value, too.
Makes sense.
And because the bracelet was so huge, the line grew. Now you have love rings.
Very popular for weddings.
Super popular.
Yeah.
And earrings, hoops or studs, necklaces, too. They all keep that screw motif, that minimalist charm. It's just instantly recognizable worldwide.
Okay, moving from love to something maybe even more artistically rooted, the Trinity ring.
Ah, yes. Designed way back in 1924.
And it was for Jean Cocteau, the French artist.
Exactly. He requested it. The design is unmistakable. Three bands, white, rose, yellow, gold interlocked, but they move freely.
And the meaning behind the colors.
That's the beauty of it. White gold represents friendship. Yellow gold, fidelity. And rose gold stands for romantic love.
All meeting equally.
Perfectly put. None overshadows the others. It symbolizes a relationship that lasts, you know, balanced. It's a beautiful metaphor visually.
What's wild is when it came out, the Art Deco period, right? Everything was so flamboyant.
Totally. Big, bold, colorful. And then Cartier releases this minimalist masterpiece.
Almost like an anti-statement?
Kind of, yeah. And its simplicity just made it instantly timeless. It's endured.
Still a huge choice for engagement or wedding rings, I imagine.
Absolutely. Often just plain. Maybe the Cartier engraving is the only adornment on the classic version.
And they've updated it too.
Oh, for sure. You can get versions with pave diamonds, those tiny diamonds set really close together.
Right, for that shimmer.
Yeah. Or even mixed gems, like pink and blue sapphires, adds a pop of color. And the Trinity design itself, it pops up elsewhere, like in their Panther brooches. Shows how versatile it is.
So, love is commitment, Trinity is connection. What about taking something really ordinary, like every day, and making it luxury, even a bit rebellious?
That brings us perfectly to the Juste un Clou.
Juste un Clou. Just a nail.
Exactly. Also, Aldo Cipolo, same guy as the Love Bracelet. This was 1971.
And it literally looks like a bent nail.
It does. Made from one piece of 18-karat gold, usually.
Right.
Wraps around the wrist. No clasp. Just overlaps. It's got this slight spiral.
It feels edgy. Punky, almost. Oh,
totally. That's the vibe. Rebellious, free-spirited, liberation. It takes the mundane and makes it magnificent. It's a challenge to convention.
Was it originally just plain metal?
Yeah, the first ones were unadorned. Later came versions with pavé diamonds, sometimes all over, sometimes just subtly on the nail head.
And it's not just bracelets now.
Nope. Rings, too, quite a statement for a wedding band,
And
right?
definitely unconventional.
Earrings as well, often like incomplete hoops and necklaces, all keeping that bold nail shape.
It's amazing how something so simple can say so much, but
Yeah.
people get it right away. An industrial object as luxury.
That's a good question. It definitely pushed buttons. The love bracelet was about connection. This is about like individual freedom. I'm all
Yep.
saying, I buy my own jewelry. I don't need unlocking. It probably appealed to a more avant-garde crowd at first.
But that boldness paid off.
Absolutely. It cemented Cartier's reputation for being innovative, for getting modern self-expression.
Okay, let's shift gears. From symbolism and hardware to the natural world, Cartier has this deep, long-standing connection there.
A huge source of inspiration.
And where else to start but with the panther?
La Panthère. So iconic for Cartier. It goes back to 1914. First in a painting Louis Cartier commissioned, then in ads.
But as jewelry, that came later.
Yes, 1935. And the credit goes to Jeanne Toussaint. Her nickname was actually La Panthère.
Because of her personality.
Exactly. Fierce, independent. And she did something radical. Instead of abstract designs, which were common then, she used the panther's features, the eyes, the spots, its whole form as the jewelry itself, adorned with gems.
She literally brought the animal to life in the pieces.
She really did. And it caught on with powerful women who saw themselves in that image.
Wallis Simpson, the Duchess of Windsor, she was a big fan, wasn't she?
Huge fan. Her panther sapphire brooch from 49 is legendary, a diamond panther perched on this massive sapphire.
Wow.
And another piece of hers, an onyx and diamond bracelet, it sold for, get this, £4.5 million in 2010.
4.5 million pounds.
Yep. Even with some small stones missing,
Yeah.
that tells you the power, the collectability.
Incredible.
And the panther keeps evolving. Those panther head rings, they're constantly being reimagined. Always 18 karat gold or platinum, emerald eyes, onyx spots,
So
sapphires.
many variations.
Yeah. And big cuffs, necklaces too. Always paying homage to that amazing creature.
Okay, from fierce predator to joyful birds. The Les Oiseaux Libres collection sounds much lighter.
It is, visually, very exuberant, inspired by parrots, other birds, lots of color, sense of freedom.
But there's more to it.
Oh, yes. If you connect the dots, there's deeper history here. Cartier used birds as symbols before, especially during wartime. Think about it. 1942, German occupation of France. Cartier creates the caged bird brooch, a symbol of oppression.
Wow, glad to know that.
Then, 1944, liberation. They released the freed bird brooch. So this modern collection, Les Oiseaux Libres, the freed birds, it carries that legacy. Hope, freedom, art resisting adversity.
That adds such a layer of meaning. It's not just pretty parrots.
Exactly. The designs are vibrant, sure. Dangling emerald tails, ruby feathers, pavé diamond bird faces. They're stunning pieces.
Three-dimensional rings, brooches of birds escaping cages.
Yes. Very theatrical, very show-stopping. It makes you wonder about the hidden messages in jewelry today.
Definitely. So, building on that nature theme, there's the Fauna Flore collection from 2011, explicitly animals and plants.
Right, and this one has an origin story that is just peak Cartier, peak audacity.
Oh, do tell.
It goes back to the Mexican movie star Maria Felix in 1975. She wanted a crocodile necklace.
Okay.
So legend has it, she walks into the Cartier store with live baby crocodiles in a fishbowl.
No, seriously.
This seriously. And says, make me a necklace like these.
That is amazing.
And they did. An incredible yellow diamond and emerald necklace of two intertwined crocodiles, fully articulated. It's one of the most famous jewelry pieces ever made.
I can just picture the scene in the boutique.
Right. And that piece inspires a modern Fauna Flore. Sinuous shapes, crocodiles, snakes wrapping around your finger, tiger bangles.
Often with lots of diamonds.
Loads of pavé diamonds, yeah. Mixed gems too, like emerald eyes on a diamond croc ring. It's about capturing the animal spirit, its movement through craftsmanship.
Right, let's shift again to diamonds, the ultimate symbol, maybe, and then some of Cartier's newer, more avant-garde stuff.
Yeah, the diamond question is key for Cartier. How do they keep that classic appeal but also stay relevant, address modern concerns?
So the classic diamonds collection, this is what people picture, right?
Yeah.
Especially for engagement rings.
For many, yes. It's that heritage meeting timeless desire.
You think of Grace Kelly's engagement ring, that enormous diamond.
The 10.47 carat one, that really cemented Cartier diamonds as the choice, didn't it? Apparently, it was an upgrade from a ruby and emerald ring initially.
Interesting. And these pieces hold their value. You mentioned a similar ring sold for millions.
Yeah, a Cartier ring, emerald and diamonds, went for over $6 million in 2017. Shows the enduring power and value.
But there are dramatic diamond stories too, not just happy engagements.
Oh, definitely. The Patiala necklace, 1928, commissioned by the Maharaj of Patiala.
How many diamonds?
Nearly 3,000, 2,930 diamonds, including this massive 236-carat yellow diamond in the center.
Unbelievable.
And then it vanished in 1948, just disappeared, gone. Mm. But then years later, parts started showing up. And in 1998, someone from Cartier actually found the main necklace structure in a secondhand shop.
No way. With the stones?
No, stones were all gone, but the platinum framework, the setting, was intact. Incredible craftsmanship that even survived that ordeal.
That's incredible. Beyond the sparkle, though, ethics are important now. How does Cartier handle that?
Very proactively. Since the 90s, they've been really committed to conflict-free diamonds. They only work with trusted suppliers, ensuring not just quality and clarity, but crucially, ethical origins.
That's essential for people today.
Absolutely. Huge reassurance.
Okay, moving to something more contemporary. Caresse Dorchia Days, launched in New York, right? For the modern American woman.
That's the story. Early 21st century launch. And it's a real contrast to, say, the Love Bracelet's minimalism.
How so?
It's exuberant, glamorous. It's Cartier's first collection inspired entirely by flowers orchids, specifically.
A different kind of feminine energy.
Exactly. Bolder, more expressive, and again, that commitment to conflict-free diamonds, sapphires, emeralds is central.
Madonna's a fan, I read.
Yep, she's been seen wearing pieces. The earrings are often quite bold, colorful, definitely eye-catching compared to some smaller Cartier styles.
Necklaces look delicate, though. Like floating flowers.
Some are, yeah. But then you also have these extravagant brooches just covered in glittering pavé diamonds, real statement pieces. It shows Cartier's range.
Definitely. Now, for something really different, Clash de Cartier, you called it luxury punk.
Yeah, it kind of fits. It definitely has that edgy spirit, maybe like a descendant of Houston Clue.
How does it look?
Modern, hard-edged, lots of studs, beads. You see it on rings, necklaces, earrings, bracelets. Think spiky studded bands, often rose or white gold, 18 karat, sometimes pave diamonds or even coral for a pop of color.
It feels rebellious.
It's meant to. Challenges traditional luxury. It's got an elegant aggression, if that makes sense.
The source mentioned it's a choice for a quirky bride. I can see that.
Definitely. Someone who doesn't follow the rules.
Was it a shock to their older clients? It's pretty out there for Cartier.
Well, Cartier has always innovated. Think Trinity. Think Justin Clou. Clash was probably aimed at capturing a new audience, younger or just bolder. And while it looks hard, the pieces are actually designed to be comfortable. The spikes are rounded. It's still very fine jewelry.
Quality is still there.
Always. It shows they can push boundaries aesthetically without losing that core identity.
Okay, one more in this vein, circling back to hardware. Ecru de Cartier.
Right, one of their more recent lines. A clever twist on the Love and Justin Clou legacy.
Inspired by?
The humble nut. As in nuts and bolts. Ecru is French for nut.
Okay, so the bracelet looks like?
A simple gold band, yeah. But it looks like a nut with movable bolts on it. Sometimes the bolt heads have tiny diamond inlays.
Taking the everyday, elevating it again.
Yeah.
Playful but chic.
Exactly. Sophisticated wink.
And the rings.
Same idea, smaller scale. Because the shape is unusual, the Cartier signature and the metal stamps are often set right onto one of the bolts. Makes them really distinctive, quite quirky.
It shows they can revisit that industrial theme and still make it feel fresh.
Definitely.
We've covered so much ground, but Cartier's world is huge. We should probably briefly mention a few others just to give a fuller picture.
Good idea. There are some other really interesting facets to their work.
Like Amulette de Cartier. Popular for gifts, I hear.
Very popular. They feature unique stones, onyx, malachite, lapis lazuli, often in these round pendants, like little padlocks with a diamond in the center, meant to be personal talismans.
Nice. And then something totally different. Cactus de Cartier.
Oh, Cactus is fun. Launched 2016, really bold, playful, amazing 3D cocktail rings shaped like cacti, often with emeralds for the green or yellow diamonds. Very sculptural.
Shows their adventurous side. And Maison Panthère, is that animal related?
Not directly, despite the name. Maison means link. It's about a special interlocking brickwork link design. Creates this very sensuous, fluid feel in bracelets and necklaces. often has subtle diamonds woven in. It's about the beauty of the chain itself.
Got it. So many different angles. Hashtag outro. Wow. What a journey through Cartier's collections. From love locks and symbolic knots to rebellious nails, wild animals, delicate flowers, classic diamonds.
It's incredibly diverse, isn't it? But when you look across them all, you see the constants, that meticulous craftsmanship. Always 18 karat gold or platinum, high quality, ethically sourced gems. But it's more than just materials. It's the storytelling, the constant innovation, pushing boundaries creatively, but always somehow staying elegant and recognizably Cartier.
They don't just follow trends, they make them or reinterpret them masterfully.
Precisely.
So what's the takeaway for you, our listeners?
Maybe next time you see a piece of jewelry, especially from a house like Cartier, just take a moment. Think about the history it might carry, the design choices, the personal meaning woven in.
Look beyond the sparkle.
Exactly. Look for those humble or unexpected inspirations. The nail, the nut, the crocodile that walked into the store that can shave truly lasting art. These pieces connect us to stories across generations. It's not just decoration. It's like wearing a small piece of cultural history.